You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We are live on a Friday afternoon. We thank you for joining us as we reflect back on a very busy week, and we'll do that right now. Big stories in Birmingham were many, and we start with Commissioner Sankey on Monday talking about COVID.
You hope not to have disruption, but hope is not a plan, is the great cliche. We still have roster minimums that exist, just like last year. What I've identified for consideration among our membership is we remove those roster minimums and you're expected to play as scheduled. That means your team needs to be healthy to compete. And if not, that game won't be rescheduled.
Lane Kiffin, always an attraction at any media days, and this year, no exception.
It was 12 years ago here with Tennessee, and I think in those 12 years, I've probably experienced more than most coaches ever do in a lifetime. And not just since then going to third head job, but in between that, 3 years with Nick Saban, you know, what's the best coach of all time. And to have a great run in those 3 years with him, be part of some championships, and to learn from him. I mean, I don't think anybody does that in 12 years, what I've been able to do. So it has been challenging. It has been rewarding. And just humbled to be back here. You know, 12 years later, representing Ole Miss.
Wednesday media day is usually Nick Saban day. It was, but later in the day, it became all about the Aggies and the story breaking as we were on the air talking about the OU in Texas. Jimbo Fisher and Ross Bjork just happened to be our next two guests.
Wanted to have a standalone identity in the state of Texas and all the turmoil that was happening in college athletics at the time. And so the SEC has been a perfect fit for us. And we believe that we want to maintain that same identity. Perhaps there's a reason why Texas and Oklahoma are looking around, if that's the case. I think Jimbo said it on the podium. Of course they do. They want to be in the SEC. It's the best conference. So there's a lot of uncertainty, I think, right now in college athletics. So I think this type of story fuels that a little bit.
Hey, we're very happy where we're at. I know that. So while we're developing the culture and getting this program going to where we think it could go, and you know, being in the SEC is, in my opinion, a big advantage to do that.
Coach, let's talk about what is expected, regardless of who comes in the league in a couple of years.
I'll say this, though. Be careful what you ask for when you jump on this lake.
That was one of the lines of the week. it truly was. What a week it was. What was that? Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot only the biggest guest of the week being asked about the biggest question, Greg Sankey.
I've been, you know, consistent and clear. I haven't commented on a story from anonymous sources, and I'm respectful of others, and certainly will be. And that's just reality. I know people want all kinds of information and people speculate, but it's obviously a time of transformation in college athletics, you know, speaking big picture, leaving a newspaper story aside. Transformational time is an understatement. And as we walk through legislative issues, name, image, and likeness, still COVID, there's enough keeping my attention focused on those issues, I can assure you.
Okay. This is a story that is boomeranging around college athletics. There's another source out there. Sooners Longhorns on the verge of making the SEC move. Remember 48 hours ago, guests were sitting right next to us saying, no way, this doesn't smell right. Smells like money right now. Let's get more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And next up from Houston, Trey, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, this is Troy.
Hey, Troy.
Am I doing this right? I'm an OU grad.
Let me just say something to all you OU and Texas viewers, and I know we have a few new ones today. We are going to have the SEC Network Fantasy Camp as soon as we get this nailed down, so you guys don't need to worry about it. Just be yourself. You're still Big 12 guys, so but we welcome you, and we'll teach you how to talk SECEs.
Perfect. I'm looking forward to that. I wanted to call you and talk about the timing of this switch. I know OU gets a lot of hate for having a pretty easy shot to the Big 12 championship and the college football playoff. Is this something that with the imminent expansion of the college football playoff, is this something that was really looked at when you talk about OU wanting to come to the SEC when it might not be more as important to win the SEC championship now?
Yeah, Troy, I think this conversation about coming over here predated the official announcement of where we were going with the CFP, although they were both running concurrently in the dark rooms. But I don't think it's going to matter a whole lot. Even if OU and Texas are over in the SEC, you're going to be able to lose a game or two and still make that playoff. So I think a lot of people are concerned what happens next, but I think OU and Texas realize it doesn't matter. They need to be in the highest quality league, which they're not, and they need to capitalize on a gold rush of television money, which is out there at the moment. You never know what happens in that world, and I don't think either school is too concerned about navigating the SEC waters.
So I don't want to get too much into the Big 12, but what sort of implications do you see with schools like, you know, West Virginia, Baylor, Kansas, schools that might get left out of this hunt of the Big 12 essentially just crashing down and being left out of these other conferences? Do you see a lot of big losers after this?
Yes. Troy, if you go back 11 years, when the Pac-12 was about to hijack college football and get Texas and Oklahoma, A&M was part of it, a couple of other schools, they wanted nothing to do with Baylor or Kansas. And everyone was saying at the time about Kansas, how could you leave Kansas out? They have one of the storied basketball programs in the country. They didn't care. Baylor was a different story. I think if you're West Virginia, you got one shot. It's the ACC. It's in your geographic footprint. If you're Kansas, you better hope somebody wants you. Is it the Pac-12? Is it the Big Ten? It won't be the Big Ten. I'll let you in on that secret. You can't find a more mismanaged athletic department in the country the last couple of years in Kansas. So they better hope. I think if the Big 12 survives, which I doubt it will, then you have Houston and SMU probably knocking back on the door of where they used to be, or at least in SMU's case. So, there are not a lot of quality moves. And I think Notre Dame is really the last piece on the chessboard that could impact a league. And most people think it would be the ACC. The real question I have, and I'm curious what you think, where does the Big Ten go to add a couple of schools? I mean, who's attractive out there?
That's a good question. For me, I think it's a toss-up. I think you can look at teams like Iowa State. I think Texas Tech might be better other places, but Kansas State. Kansas has a great basketball team that would fit in really well with the Big Ten basketball program. There's a lot of different cases for a lot of different teams.
Troy, I'll tell you, I think Cincinnati is in a good spot right now. because, you know, they have a really high-quality football team. They have a good basketball team. But I'll say this a couple more times, and I have a lot of friends who are basketball coaches, and I grew up a bigger basketball fan than I was a football fan as a kid. So I'm not dissing basketball, but basketball, I mean, I can only think of two or three schools in basketball that would really matter to any conference. It would be Kentucky. It would be probably Duke, maybe North Carolina. I'm not sure beyond that anybody's going to factor or move the needle in basketball. You know, there may be two or three more you could add to that, but Kansas won't. So I think Kansas, Texas Tech, those schools are really in a tough spot, and quite frankly, I don't know where they go.
I agree. I've got one more question for you. You know, there's obviously a really long history with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and it seems like if all of this SEC talk pans out the way that it seems like it will, OU will still play Texas, and then now Texas will take Texas A&M and have two solid rivalry games. What other team do you see becoming a rival to Oklahoma in the SEC now, if the Oklahoma State game isn't going to be there like it has been every year?
Yeah, thanks for the call. You know, for OU, I think, you know, they'll be on that side of the ball. So, it, you know, it's A&M, even though we'll see that, 66-0 game, whatever it was when Dennis Franchione was at A&M. It's OU, Texas. It's OU, A&M. I would even think Arkansas and Missouri are the more regional, and then the obvious ones. I mean, anytime you know, I'm not throwing Alabama, Georgia, and Florida into that equation, or LSU, because, you know, they're pretty obvious. I think the rivalries will develop out there, and I think they'll be the schools probably that used to be in the Big 12. Hey, we're up against a break. We have a lot of guests coming, and we are not stopping. And more of your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here. It was a year ago at this moment in time when none of us knew what would happen with the upcoming college football season. And Commissioner Greg Sankey was leaning on several key infectious disease specialists for advice. And he has told us numerous times, one of the most important voices that he was listening to, if not the most important, is our next guest, Dr. Catherine O'Neill, who is an infectious disease specialist affiliated with LSU. And also, we talked to her a couple of months ago when she and her other colleagues around the league were the recipients of the Mike Slav Award. Dr. O'Neill, thank you very much for joining us. It's so great to see you and to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for having me today, Paul.
What's not so great is where we are. And we just got through listening to Commissioner Sankey talk Monday about his view of COVID. And before we even get into the college football element, I would like you to talk a little bit about this moment in time, not only in the South, but around the country, if not the world, of why where we are with this Delta variant of COVID is such a big concern.
It's a big concern for two reasons. I think the first reason, and the most important, is that the Delta variant is just so different from last year's virus. It's more contagious. It produces 1,000 times more virus particles when you're infected. So it is infecting a ton more people at one time. That's what we're seeing in our community and around the South, is a rapid rise in cases, a rise so fast that it's going to be hard to get control of it now that it's sort of out of the bag. And I think we're going to see that around every state in the nation. We're already seeing their rates go up, but we're going to see that rapid rise quickly, putting us in kind of a disaster mode setting. And unfortunately, Paul, the other thing I think that's so different and so important is that it's affecting young people now. You know, last year's virus was a virus of people with comorbidities, a virus of the elderly, and everybody else thought they would be okay. And with this year's virus, you're 40 years old, you got two kids at home, you know, you're making it every day just to get to the next paycheck and pay your tuition for school that's coming up, and now you're in our hospital. And that's just so unusual to see. And right now, 65% of the people in our hospital are under the age of 60, which is incredible.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Well, let's get to the tired questions about where we are and how we deal with it. And I think there's some of them are pretty obvious. And we heard Commissioner Sankey lay it out. Then we heard a number of coaches in the Southeastern Conference talk about the vaccine. Two in particular would not comment on whether or not they had taken the vaccine or where their teams were. Dr. O'Neill, you work down there, and I know based on reports, LSU's team is in very good shape, thank goodness. But what is your message, not only to football coaches and players, but to the public in general right now, many of whom have not been vaccinated? I just got back from Alabama, and the rate there is about 34%. Louisiana's challenged. So are most of the southern states.
So our message is the same, and we've gotten a chance to talk to a handful of SEC schools this week, and next week we'll do the same right before everybody leaves, just to reinforce and try to help our athletes stay safer as they head back home. So talking about the vaccine, talking about risk versus benefits, answering any questions, and then really, really driving home the point that when you go home, Delta virus is out there and ready for you. Be safe, be careful with your family. Come back to school safely so that we can get ready and practice and have a safe football season. Answering those questions about the vaccine has been our mission. You know, I think that there are a lot of people out there, including our athletes, who really want it. They just have a few more questions they want answered, and that's what we're doing this week, just answering as many questions as we can.
Well, let's allow us to ask you a couple of questions about the vaccine, because this is a talk show. People have varying views, and I think both of us respect that. But let's start with those who are concerned about the vaccine just from a health standpoint. And I know last year there was a lot of conversation about pregnant women. There was a lot of conversation about immune challenge people. But so who should be the most concerned about that vaccine? And when we get that off the table, I'd like to get into the general conversation about why the rest of the people are still concerned.
I haven't found a single age group or person with an underlying condition who continues to need to be concerned about the vaccine. I think that we've shown initially, you talked about the immune challenge. We've shown that it's actually incredibly safe for them, and that people who are immune challenged are coming into the hospital very sick from COVID and are also the most likely to have a breakthrough case. Your only chance of doing well with a breakthrough case is at least having some antibody. You talked about pregnant women. So the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology said, absolutely get this vaccine. With the Delta virus, we're seeing pregnant women get COVID, get very sick. We had a crash C-section a couple of days ago, very young mother. That's not what we want to see, but that's what we're seeing. So pregnant women have never been healthier than they are when they're fully vaccinated. And we need to push that message because we just haven't seen a detriment to being vaccinated yet.
So let's get to what and I don't mean to be dismissive of where we are in the world. It's a serious situation, as you laid out. But let's bring it into the athletic forefront, especially in football. And you've communicated with many, many people, whether it's in Baton Rouge or at other schools. When you talk to young people, can you give us a general understanding of why they seem to be concerned about taking the vaccine?
Absolutely. I think the biggest concern is the lack of concern. So, Paul, if I'm 16 to 24 right now, you know, I'm an elite athlete, I'm either trying to go to college and play sports, or I'm in college and playing sports. My biggest concern is, why don't you need me to get this? I'm going to be fine. And this is just another thing, a hurdle I don't want to jump through. So they're not concerned as much about the vaccine anymore. We've had some questions, but mostly, why do I have to get it? So we've talked a lot about your age group does do pretty well, but getting COVID's hard on you. You lose a lot of weight. You're out of practice. You're more likely to have an injury. It's not an easy infection, even in the well. We've talked a lot about team. So we saw what happened in the College World Series. We don't want to do that again. We want to play every single game. We want to bring our whole team. And the only way with this Delta variant is for 100% of us to be vaccinated. Otherwise, we're going to see missed games. We're going to see our teams have to go home. We're going to see our teams not bring every player. None of that is acceptable. None of that. We're elite athletes. We need to all make it there. And I think the only way to do that is vaccination. The only way for our community to get to Christmas is through vaccination. It's the same thing. Vaccination is a team sport. It's for everybody, not just for you.
Dr. O'Neill, I talked. We had two coaches come through this week who really didn't want to talk about it, who said it's really not up to them to tell their athletes what to do. He said it's our job just to give them education, which involves people like you and your colleagues. This is a difficult area for to judge what, you know, different views and personalities. But what do you say when someone in a position of leadership does not want to step forward?
You know, not everybody is good at playing multiple roles. Coaches are awesome. Coaches can be very motivating. I don't know how to play sports very well, Paul. I'll be honest with you. And I know how to practice medicine, right? And so what has helped a lot and what we've seen great success with in schools is when we pair our docs with our coaches and athletic trainers and we really get the right message across together. And so I think that some of the time you just see hesitancy because, you know, why would you want to deliver the message if somebody can help you deliver it and answer those questions from a scientific background? So today I'm at Mississippi State. Next week we'll talk to several other schools. I think we just keep helping these teams do the education that they need and get over the hesitancy or at least feel more informed when they make their decision. And I think that works perfectly.
And Dr. O'Neill, I'll ask you a question I never thought I would ask another infectious disease specialist, and that's in relation to the upcoming college football season, which is really just 6 weeks away. What are your biggest concerns as we get closer to jam-packed stadiums, tailgating, whether it's at the Grove or at Mississippi State where you are, or in Baton Rouge where you live, or anywhere else in the country?
My biggest concern right now for schools, education, college athletics, because it's all the same thing. It's team sports of young people. We're not going to make it. We're not going to make it without vaccination. And I absolutely know that if we all go get vaccinated right now, our community, our players, which we're doing, our students, everybody who's eligible, we're going to be great. We're going to make it, but not just make it. We're going to see our championships played in front of big crowds. We're going to hear the roar of a crowd, but it's going to have to be a vaccinated crowd. And I think that's our message this week with this surge is there's no way out of this but vaccination.
Doctor, before you go, it's July 23rd. The vaccinations in this country started being given in late December. It's not hard to do the math on how long ago that was. And the vaccination's been available pretty much to almost everyone but young people for a considerable time. If this doesn't change, and there's a lot of pessimism that it will, what is this country, especially this part of the country, the region of the South, that we care about, at least in relation to our fervor for college football. What is it going to look like in 6 weeks?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's going to be what we're seeing in Baton Rouge today on a little bit of a bigger scale. And what we're seeing today is some unintended and a totally preventable death. We are seeing our peers, our dads, our moms, our grandparents. We're seeing them admitted. We're seeing them dying today. It's only going to get worse, Paul. We either have to get vaccinated or a lot of people with a just preventable illness will not be here to watch our first football game.
Dr. Catherine O'Neill, always great with your time. Thank you so much. It's a difficult subject, but necessary considering where we are. You be well, and we will talk to you again very, very soon. Dr. Catherine O'Neill joining us today from Mississippi State. We're heading to a break. Thank you so much. We will take a break. That's a sobering conversation with one of the leading specialist in the country, someone who played a critical role last year in the SEC playing college football. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. What an interesting program it's been so far. We appreciate Dr. O'Neill with a really sobering message. Thank you for that. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7 285. Michael is in Missouri. Hello, Michael. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Paul, for taking my call.
Thank
Love
you.
The show.
Appreciate it.
You remember Southwestern Conference and the Big Eight?
Of course, yes.
You remember who killed those programs?
No.
Well, I remember it very well. I mean, and that's Texas.
Well,
as a Mizzou fan, I am not a fan.
I'm trying. Hey, by the way, I'm trying to think between Texas, Nebraska, and A&M. I mean, who has the most animus toward the University of Texas?
Nebraska.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that was the case because they got out because of Texas. And yeah, Missouri's situation was a little bit different. A&M got out because of Texas. Texas did a good job of running away. Four of the top five schools in the Big 12, other than themselves.
Yeah, I had a few questions. Schools like Mizzou, Kentucky, South Carolina, and even Tennessee, with OU and Texas coming in, how do those schools kind of compete with having two more powers into those programs, into that conference? And do you feel like college football is going to get more like an NFL where you have an NFC and, you know, the AFC, but it's the SEC and maybe even just the Big Ten, you know, where you just have the haves and have not and just have more of a separation now with just, you know, a big, big conference, and kind of go into pods, and maybe even Oklahoma State going into the SEC and just keep on expanding and expanding, especially with the NIL going on. And just kind of want to see.
Yeah, I tell you, I don't think too many people have talked about what you just got through saying, Michael. And I think the middle class of college football is really in trouble. I know football people will argue against that, but I think the little guy is getting pushed away. The second tier, the third tier, the smaller schools. This is going to be essentially the NFL. You'll have your elite. The money is going to be massive. And, yeah, if you're in the middle to lower division of the SEC, you will still make a fortune. And I've heard some numbers being promoted about what this could be. And they're jaw-dropping, but that's why they're doing it. But I don't know how some of these schools are going to be anything more than 7-5 programs, though.
I got one last question. What are your thoughts? Do you think if A&M's that mad, do you think they would leave the conference? And do you think the Big Ten would try to poach maybe Mizzou and try to get that Kansas rival back?
I do not.
Just let you go on that.
Yeah, remember something. Right. Remember something about Missouri. They can argue, but the truth is they wanted in the Big Ten, and it would not have been a bad fit. They were geographically positioned, academically comfortable with the Big Ten. Kansas is not a factor. A&M's not going anywhere. I mean, A&M, you know, A&M can do whatever it wants right now. They can, you know, say we were supposed to be the only kid on the block from Texas. Why are they doing this? But A&M really has nothing to be concerned about. I mean, this program is in phenomenal shape. A&M really is one of the biggest reasons why Texas is doing this, because they saw what A&M did. Whether they laughed at them or not, doesn't matter anymore. A&M put the roadmap ahead for OU in Texas to say, you know what, we're in the wrong place. We need to get out. Thanks for the call. Really good call. Appreciate that a lot. Let's check out Jesse, who is up next. Jesse, good afternoon. Well, I don't hear Jesse, so let me try to check in with Joey. Hello, Joey. You're in Arkansas. Good afternoon.
Howdy. How are you?
We're well. Thank you.
Well, Paul,
yeah.
I'm in Arkansas, but I'm a Buckeye, okay?
And wonderful.
I'm a very concerned Buckeye today.
Why is that?
Well, I look around and I see what all's going on, and, you know, maybe Texas and Oklahoma go to the SEC, and I kind of have a unique perspective because I live in SEC country, but I'm a Big Ten man. And here's the problem, Paul. I look 10, 15 years down the road, and I really don't see why we need to be loyal to the Big Ten, in all honesty. Like, yeah, we have the Team Up North rivalry. That's pretty big. But other than that, all this talk of us going around and poaching teams from other conferences, you're telling me that Oklahoma State and Kansas State and Kansas are going to be anything if at all different than Iowa and Indiana that we have now? It's like, for me, my question to you is, Paul, at what point, not just Texas and Oklahoma, but all football national powers, will they have to look in the mirror and say, hey, historically, we are synonymous with the Big Ten, with the ACC, with the Pac-12, but if we want to stay where we're at moving forward, we're going to have to look ourselves in the mirror and make some tough decisions and maybe take ourselves elsewhere.
Well, Joey, I will just simply ask you a professorial question. Where?
That's another good. I mean, that's a good point out of you as well.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You listen. I mean, the Big Ten is a great conference. The financial flow is astronomical. It has great contracts. And I know one is coming up in a few years, and it may not. And I think they're going to be in pretty good shape, because if OU and Texas leave the Big 12, Fox is a partner out there. Fox better come up with something pretty substantive, and they're already in on the Big 10, but they may want to go in a little bit more. So I think the Big 10 has to be smart and look the country over and say to themselves, who can we bring in here who matters? And that is really the challenge. Is it, you know, Cincinnati is a good program, but is Cincinnati going to knock anyone over? You tell me. I don't think so.
Oh, me neither. And even more than that, I think what's concerning, especially watching how football season played out last year, is I don't feel comfortable with I don't really trust Commissioner Warren to be in this position to make these types of decisions. What track record has he had that's shown that he can move this league in the direction that we need?
Right now he really doesn't. I mean, he stumbled out of the gate pretty badly, and now it's a matter of coming up with what we call as a home run. Hey, thanks for the call. Up against the break, we still have 2 hours and change to go. A lot of guests are around the corner with the latest on the explosive expansion news, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Addison is in Texas, and you are on the air. Hello, Addison.
I'm doing pretty good, Paul. I just want to say I enjoyed your interview with Billy Lucci. He's always been a pretty good barometer of the general sentiment of Aggies. And, as an Aggie fan, I'm kind of conflicted about this whole situation regarding OU and Texas, because in one sense, you got away from Texas because of them, trying to control the conference. And, here they are coming back. But in another sense, what better way to validate your move that you were ridiculed for than to engage them on the field and, validate that decision. And I think Luke made a pretty good point about them coming into the conference and thinking, if they're going to sit across the table from other member institutions and tell them what's for, then they got another thing coming. Because, as Aggie fans know, dealing with them for decades, that, a jackal is always going to be a jackal, even when it's feeding from your hand to regain its strength. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and let me say this about Texas. I would use this in any comparison. I've been through things recently where people will say, well, yeah, but it was a certain way a year or two, in today's world, all that doesn't matter. And I've been as critical of Texas's past as anyone else, but I give Texas credit, though, if this comes to fruition, for recognizing where they are, who they are, and what they need to do. It isn't something I could have ever predicted. Oklahoma was easy to predict. The audience knows how many times we've talked about the fact that Oklahoma was yearning for the SEC, and it was just a complicated puzzle. But Texas was never on this plate, other than in the late 80s when the SEC made overtures and they couldn't make the move without A&M, and at the time that was complicated because the league needed one from the West and one from the East. Thank you very much for the call. Let's check out Steve, who is up next. Hey, Steve, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Hey, big Gator fan here, and I'm just thinking a little bit today about kind of the past and future of the sport of college football. And I know we kind of think things will often be brighter when something big like this happens, and sometimes they aren't. I've kind of found the college football playoff to be a bit disappointing just because it's kind of the same teams every year. And just thinking about Texas and OU's move, do you think it breaks up recruiting a bit, maybe makes things a little bit more level, or at least gives a little more of a level playing field in some ways across this conference and even across the sport at all? Do you think it kind of breaks up the Alabama juggernaut a little bit?
Well, I mean, think about this. I don't know when this happens, whether it's 2 years or 5 years, but, if Nick Saban's in the car listening, he might want to turn the knob down. But, I mean, his time is limited, let's be honest, okay? I don't think he's coaching for 8 or 10 more years, he knows how difficult this is going to be. And I'm already feeling sorry for his successor, though, because, I mean, this league is already brutal, but, it's going to become – I mean, there's not going to be any oxygen to breathe in the SEC when this happens. But that's fine. That's why it's such a great league, and that's why I think Commissioner Sankey's leadership is so spectacular to be thinking about this while everybody else is chasing their tail. Up against the break, we have to run. We'll talk to a man who covers the University of Oklahoma for many, many years. We'll get the perspective from Barry Trammell right after this.